Let us look in the word of the Lord to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You've washed another load, or two, or three, of clothes. And after you're all done, those same clothes will have to be washed again and again. You have prepared another meal. You have perhaps been given thanks by your family members, and in the mere matter of moments, that meal is gone, and you'll be making another and another and another. Pots and pans, dishes. You cut the grass, but the grass grows again. You shovel the snow, but it snows again. You discipline your children, and you'll have to discipline them again and again. You bow your knees in prayer. You pick up the Bible once again, and you'll have to do that repeatedly throughout your life. And for the most part, congregation, when you just stop to think about it, almost our entire lives are repetition. We do many of the same things every day. We eat, but we must eat again, and sleep, and we must eat again, and we work until we're retired, and even when we're retired, we continue to work as if we never did. We go to church, and we go again, and we go again, because we're never full. The blank computer screen faces us as you prepare another lesson for your classroom, another sermon for the congregation, another email, another report for your company. Endless, seemingly endless repetition. And even with the variations that sometimes are interspersed in our daily routines, sooner or later, to a greater or lesser extent, the routines of life weary us. On top of all these things come aches and pains, fatigue, discouragement. It all takes its toll. Sickness, disagreement, opposition, rejection. When you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, it captures this seemingly endless cycle of life. And when you consider all of this apart from God, it indeed is vanity. We're all doomed apart from God to a downward, inward spiral of repetition. Does it seem at times that our life is like this? That maybe there's moments of temporary relief or some distraction, some entertainment perhaps, but then this repetition again. Can anyone help us in these things? Can anyone help us get through a life that is so laden with recurring activities and thoughts and trials and problems? Well, certainly there is one. According to the chapter we just read, even young people shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But we read, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's what we want to consider tonight very briefly before we go to prayer. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Our theme is the weary waiting upon the Lord. In the first place, we see that such people, their strength is renewed. In the second place, their outlook is lifted. And thirdly, their endurance is bolstered or strengthened. Isaiah chapter 40 is precious for lots of reasons. It begins with a command to the prophet to comfort the people of God, to show them that their warfare is already accomplished, that their sins are already pardoned. The Lord knows our sins. He knows our faults. He doesn't sidestep them. He faces them head on. He says, I forgive my people's sins. He also knows our weariness. He also knows our weakness. He knows our frailty. And as you read the rest of the chapter, there are so many places where we can just stop and say, thanks be to God that He knows the way that we take. You look at the verse, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And even when later on in the chapter it seems as though Israel is so despondent and so discouraged, weary, then we read in verse 28, He never wearies or faints. He will give His weary people power. Verse 29, He will increase their strength. And then our text, even though the youth shall faint and be weary and the young men fall, the Lord shall renew our strength. The place to start maybe to understand these words is the very important and pivotal expression, they that wait upon the Lord. What does the Lord mean here? What is Isaiah talking about waiting upon the Lord in this passage? Well, it's easy to find out what he means by simply looking elsewhere in Scripture where this expression is used. Psalm 123, verse 2, As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. So you picture, boys and girls, a master, someone who is running the store or running a big home or a big family or a big company. And his servants and the people who work for him are looking. They're waiting upon him. If he beckons to them to come, then they come to him. And if he tells them to go, they go. And if he asks them to do something, well, they do it. They're waiting upon their master to do whatever he bids them to do. And so the psalmist there and Isaiah here is saying, we wait upon the Lord. We are looking to the Lord for direction. We look to Him for everything that we need in our everyday lives, knowing that our lives are actually in His hands. And then in Isaiah 8, verse 17, we read the expression again. Isaiah says, And I will wait upon the Lord, and this is interesting, that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. Here was a time when the servant couldn't see the master. It seemed as though God had hidden Himself, that God was nowhere to be found. But there stays Isaiah in his place. He is gazing by faith toward the Lord. He is waiting upon the Lord. He is hoping in the Lord. He is trusting in the Lord even when he can't find the Lord. So great is his confidence in the Lord. So our text tonight is talking about looking to the Lord. Sometimes that means quietly observing His direction in our lives providentially. Sometimes it means praying and then pausing to consider what the Lord will answer us through His Word or by other means. Maybe through other Christians and believers or through nature. Now what's the opposite of waiting upon the Lord? Well, that's just going ahead and doing it. It's forging ahead on our own. It's not waiting before the Lord in prayer. It's jumping the hurdles of life one by one, not listening, not praying, not crying out to the Lord for strength, but just barging through and tackling things one after another incessantly. No, we don't expect to hear visions and dreams, answers from God audibly, but many times He opens doors that were closed, or He gives insight into certain circumstances that we didn't have before. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So if we feel weary, if we feel defeated, if we feel that our lives are just empty or vain, then the sense here is, Lord, give me strength. Strength to go on. Lord, I look to Thee to hold me up against the waves of temptation that break upon me. Give me grace to face another day. Give me strength to visit that doctor, to have that conversation with my son or my daughter or my friend or my spouse that I know is not going to be easy. Give me patience for another hour of study, for everything. And quietly and secretly, as our eyes are lifted up to Him in prayer, that out of the depths of our weakness, time and again we can feel that strength. Maybe not sensing it coming, but we get up another day and we face another trial and we're able to go forward. Now how does this work? Well, one thing we want to keep in mind is that the Holy Spirit lives within the hearts of believers. That He is the one who can bring courage to us. That He can give us fresh perspective on our lives. Gentleness to our spirit. Just plain strength in our body or in our soul or in our mind to get up again and to do our work again and to smile again. Now when we don't go to Him, when we don't wait upon Him, when we're not dependent on Him in this way, looking to Him as a servant to the Master, we may very well get away with things, seemingly. We might be able to get through our day and accomplish our tasks and leap every hurdle, and we might be successful, apparently, for a long time. But you know, a life like that's very impoverished. We may accomplish things, but we're missing that intimacy, that relationship, that dependency, that sense of connectedness with the Lord. Going it alone is exactly that. It's going it alone. But so generous is our God that in the second place, He adds to this strength, those who wait upon Him, they also shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, I'm not totally certain. I'm not sure anyone can be. That this expression, maybe, is a reference to the strength that He gives to those that are weary. You know, the eagle, you just picture the eagle soaring, just mounting up, and higher he flies to his very high, lofty perch upon the tops of the rocks and the cliffs. They can go up so fast and so powerfully, and yet, despite the high altitudes at which they fly, eagles have tremendously sharp eyesight. Even from those high vantage points, they can scan down and see even the littlest rodents running here and there, sizing up, as it were, their very next meal from such a distance. Well, what happens when we're weary and when we're faint and when we're plagued or bogged down by the seeming endless repetitions of everyday life? I was thinking about some young mothers. When our children are little, or others facing it today, incessant requests for help and no adult conversation most of the day, and one thing after another, and after a while you can understand that somebody would be worn out, that somebody would be weary, that someone would be longing for some kind of rest. And in the midst of those kinds of things, when busyness and responsibility and everything begins to pile up and continue to do so, that we can begin to lose the big picture. All we see are the four walls, the four corners, the parameters of our work life, or whatever it may be we're in. We feel maybe like we're pinned to the ground, that we never soar anymore. They that wait upon the Lord, however, shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, I don't think Isaiah is necessarily implying that if we have like these super spiritual moments of devotional life in the morning or something like that, that somehow we're going to see the landscape of our life change a lot. That somehow the crabby boss that we dread seeing every morning is somehow going to be pleasant, or that the client who isn't paying his bills will start to do that, or that the business whose business you've lost is going to come back to your account, or that your meager abilities in this or that area of life which you are sorry that you have are going to get better. But I think what changes, what the Lord is talking about here, is our perspective. Mounting up as wings, as the wings of an eagle, and being able to look at the larger scene, not being so attached, so bogged down in our day-to-day things, but being able to begin to see them in proper perspective. I'm sure you've had that. If you've ever had an ounce of spiritual life, moments when you feel particularly blessed, when the Lord seems particularly near, or you're being nourished by a book or by the scriptures or by a sermon or by the fellowship of a saint, And it just seems to, you walk away from those moments and everything seems to be back in perspective. The things that seem so overwhelming all of a sudden, they're still there, but they're put in their proper place. They're the right size again. I think that's the point. Waiting upon the Lord, having a life that's connected to Him in very vital ways, it keeps everything in its place from getting bigger than life. We soar at times above the day-to-day. We get the big picture view back again. And then finally and briefly, our endurance is bolstered. There may be those soaring moments, and there may be those moments when we feel strengthened, but just how long can we keep going? Because tomorrow's another day, they say. And the boss is still the boss, and the deadlines are still the deadlines, and the studies are still the studies, and the difficult relationship is still there, and whatever else we might be facing. What a beautiful way the Lord ends this passage. I give you one more blessing when you wait upon me. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Now the imagery here, just enter into it for a moment. It's striking. If we're running, and I don't think Isaiah is writing about a sprint here where you put out and then you stop suddenly. You might be winded after a sprint, but you're not weary. He's talking about the marathon race. You're running and you're running and you're running. And when you're done, you just feel like you can't continue. You're just totally worn out. You can't hardly take a step. You're just drained of energy. But the next picture, surprisingly, might be even more difficult. The idea here is walking mile after mile after mile after mile. Just keep walking and keep walking. It's a slower process, perhaps, of draining your energy, but it drains you more completely. It's a little at a time over a long time. Maybe it's a long trial. Maybe it's realizing that you're going to be taking care of somebody with special needs your entire life. That they will probably outlive you. That the relationship you're in, except by some miracle, will not change. That the aches and pains that you've gone to the doctor 15 times about are not getting better. And not, there's no more cure. There's no more relief. Well, what is the picture here? The picture here is it may be wearisome. It may be a long path. It may be great exertion, the push and the push and the run and the run and the daily grind wearing us down. And our Lord's promise isn't that we won't have to run anymore. And it isn't that we don't have to continue the long walk. But the promise is, as long as we're near to Him, praying, trusting, telling Him what He means to us, listening for His quiet voice, He says, I'll get you through. I'll keep you going. You won't fall. You won't fail. You won't stop. I'm with you. How does He do that? He takes us by the hand. He walks with us. He carries, He says, the lambs in His bosom. He leads His flock like a shepherd. So the picture we have tonight, if you look at the chapter, if you back up and look at the chapter as a whole, we have a mighty God. There is none else, He says. But then He says, here's what I will do. As you place yourself before Me, as you look to Me day by day and moment by moment for the answers, for the direction, for the strength you have, I will give you strength when you're weary. I will cause you to mount up with the wings of eagle. I will continually refresh the picture so that you see it in its proper perspective. I will give you to be able to surmount the day-to-day things that the world obsesses about. But I'll be there for the long haul. As you're running and running, I'm running with you. I'm inside of you. I'm giving you the stamina you need. And as that run, perhaps, over time turns into a walk, and you're inching your way towards glory, I'll see to it that you cross the line. Amen.